the gospel will overcome. In a world full of sorrow, by evil overrun, where darkness is veiled, the light of the sun.
You're listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. This is your place for intelligent conversation on the relevant issues of our day, each Friday and Saturday at 11:30 and each Sunday at noon. And now, here's the host of The Dean's List, Dr. Paul Dean.
Welcome into the Dean's List. This is Paul Dean. Breaking news here as we go on the air. Criminal charges have been brought against some police officers in the Freddie Gray death out in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm reading this now from CBS News. Baltimore's top prosecutor announced criminal charges Friday against all six officers suspended after a man suffered a fatal spinal injury in police custody. The announcement came after nearly 2 weeks of growing anger over Freddie Gray's death and only hours after she received the results of a police investigation. That is a reference to state's attorney, Marilyn J. Mosby, and she announced all of the charges, but the stiffest charge, second-degree depraved heart murder against the driver of the police van. Other officers, as I mentioned, faced charges of involuntary manslaughter, assault, and illegal arrest. Now, obviously, this is going to be a bombshell for a number of reasons for a number of folk on different sides of this issue. It's something that I've been talking about off air over the last couple of weeks, as many of you have as well. And I just think we need to talk about it for a few minutes from a Christian perspective. You know, there are a lot of things that are troubling about this particular case. At this point, I will hasten to say we still don't know all of the facts. And so it would be foolish to rush to judgment. It would be foolish to come to a complete conclusion in this particular case. That's what the whole process of gathering evidence is about. That's what the process of an apparent upcoming trial will be about, et cetera. So I'm not going to come to any hard and fast conclusions. But I will say, based upon what I've observed and what I've read and what I've seen, there are some troubling issues on both sides. First off, the arrest details, and I'm not going to go down the line and take a lot of time with this, but essentially Freddie Gray and another individual apparently minding their own business. The police were in the area, and admittedly it's a high-crime district, but a police officer makes eye contact with Freddie Gray. He runs. Why does he run? I don't know, but I know this. It doesn't matter. Maybe he's afraid because of past experience. Maybe he had done something wrong. The reality is there was no charge against him, no charges brought. There was no probable cause to arrest him. He was simply arrested for running. And one of the things that bothers me, and it's not about what bothers me or what doesn't bother me, it's about what's right and what's wrong, but I'm just couching it in those terms. One of the things that bothers me is I hear a lot of Christians, conservatives as well, and even liberals. I've heard some of them say, well, if you don't want to get hurt, then don't run. I've heard police officers say that. Now, let me say this. On the one hand, I'm well aware of Romans 13. I believe every word of the Bible, including Romans 13. Romans 13 says that we are to submit to those in authority. I believe that with all my heart. First Peter says that we're to honor the king. We're to honor those in authority. We give respect, just like I give respect to anyone else. In fact, that same text, First Peter chapter 2, says that we're to honor all people. So it's not that the government gets a special respect. It's rather that Christians, we respect all people. And so I do. So I understand First Peter 2. I understand Romans 13. But I'll say this. When I hear a police officer say, well, if you don't want to get hurt, don't run, that sounds like a threat to me. And I know that's pretty strong language, and I know that you probably haven't heard other Christians say something like that. But I think we need to open up our minds a little bit, and we need to think a little bit broader on this particular topic. Should we submit? Yes. Do we need police? Yes. Are there lots of honorable police officers out there? Are most of them trying to do their job and serve and protect? Well, absolutely. But that doesn't mean that there aren't some police officers who, well, maybe they shouldn't be on the police force. Maybe they're on the police force for the wrong reasons, or maybe they get carried away in the heat of the moment, or whatever the case may be. I just think we need to not shut our eyes blindly and think that the police can do no wrong. And I know that Christians don't think that. But it sounds to me, in many cases, when we hear these publicized events, that's the only side that I hear. And so it's disturbing at one level to hear it from a police officer. It's disturbing at another level to hear it from a Christian. It's almost callous. You don't want to get hurt. Well, then don't run. Well, what if you're being arrested unjustly? And practically speaking, sure, you don't want to get hurt. Don't run. I agree with that. I don't run from the police. A police officer pulls me over, and I have no idea why he's pulling me over. I'm not speeding. My car's up to date, you know, the whole bit. I don't know why he's pulling me over, but I'm going to submit, and I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be cordial. I'm going to show my hands. You know, I don't want to give him any reason to think that I'm doing something wrong or hiding something, or I'm going to cause him any harm. Find out what he wants. But at the same time, you know, if you feel you're being arrested unjustly, you're in a heated situation, who knows how you might react. So I think we just need to be real careful with that line of thinking. Anyway, I'm getting bogged down. Forgive me. I think the arrest details are something that needs to be fleshed out a little bit more. Not only the circumstances of the arrest or the reason for the arrest, but if you look at the videos, you know, this guy, Freddie Gray, he's obviously in pain prior to being put in the van. So the injury that ultimately took his life, was it sustained prior to, was it sustained after he was put in the van? We don't know, okay? But we need to find out. There are obviously some issues there. And then the transport details, four stops. One stop was previously undisclosed. Why was it undisclosed? It's just a question. And the reason I'm pointing this out, I know some are asking these questions, but I don't hear Christians asking these questions. I don't hear conservatives asking these questions. And admittedly, I haven't listened to every Christian or every conservative. But I want to be one of those voices that asks that question. Why the undisclosed? Why does someone, a police officer, whoever it was a few days ago, stand up and say, you know, we have discovered a previously undisclosed stop in our thorough investigation, and they show up a picture of cameras on buildings, and he says, we've been investigating through public cameras and then through private videos. And, of course, this information was discovered through a private video. Why did it take a private video, you know, to bring out the fact that there was a stop that was not in the report? That's just an issue. It's a question for me. Was Freddie Gray attempting to harm himself in the van? I don't know. Was he already in the throes of a medical emergency? I don't know. We don't know. So, again, I'm not going to rush to judgment, but I think these are open questions. Now, let me throw this out. We're going to look at the at what a lot of Christians are saying and conservatives are saying, and in one sense, rightly so. We're going to condemn those who are burning the city. We're going to condemn, you know, the actions of looting and stealing and taking advantage of a situation. It's one thing to call for justice, but this whole business of no justice, no peace, in other words, if we don't feel that we're getting justice, well, we're just going to tear the place apart. Well, no, we don't condone that. But the reason I'm not harping on that or hammering on that is, do any of us really think that looting is okay? I mean, obviously, there are some up in Baltimore that do, apparently, but I'm talking about those of us who are engaged in the conversation, we're on talk radio, we're Christians, we're conservative. Do any of us really think that looting and burning and is okay? No, of course we don't. So that's why I'm not talking a whole lot about that. What I don't hear is a concern. I don't want to condemn the police in general. I have friends who are police officers. I have a police officer friend that I see three or four times a week. Great guy. I would trust him as much as I'd trust anybody else. So I'm not condemning the police. I'm not condemning the fact that that we have police. I'm not one of those who think we just don't need police. Now, I'm not opposed to private security as an alternative in certain instances. That's a whole other discussion. I'm just saying, as a prelude to what I'm about to say. But I do think that when government grows bigger, I do think police, bad police officers, for example, get away with certain things. I do think with the fraternity that they have, and we've heard them say things like, I've got your back, even when someone, when a fellow police officer has committed an obvious crime. I do think that we need to have a discussion about the overreach of certain police officers, whether it's police brutality or whether it's extreme police brutality. I mean, right here in my own state of South Carolina, down in the low country, Charleston, we had a police officer shoot a man in the back. He was running away. He posed no threat. He was literally running away, and he shot him in the back four times, killed him. We can't have that. The thing is, when we let police officers get away with that, all of us are in danger. See, it's not about black, white, per se, though I'm certain racism exists in the hearts of certain people. But it's not about that. It's about whether or not we live in a society that is a society of law and order, yes. But it's also a society where the government doesn't run roughshod over us in any way, shape, or form, including through its police officers. And I think what we're seeing is the tip of an iceberg. I think with the proliferation now of modern technology, i.e. anybody walking down the street now has a video camera in his pocket in the form of a cell phone. And that's why we're seeing things more now than we've seen before. I don't know that there's an increase in police brutality. Maybe there is. I don't know. But I just know that it's out in the open now because of modern technology. Now, am I going to spend the rest of the time talking about that? No, I'm going to move on. I'm going to move on. I do not condone attacking police officers. I heard a story this morning on talk radio. In fact, it was right here on this station about an individual attacking a police officer, stabbing her like 14 times because he wanted to make a point. He wanted to strike a blow against the police force. We can't condone that either. Someone asked me, what should happen to this guy? This guy should be charged for murder or attempted murder. That's what should happen to this guy. You can't attack a police officer any more than one police officer unjustly attacking a citizen. We'll talk more about it, and we will move on after the break. You're listening to The Dean's List. Be right back.
C.S. Lewis once said, I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. I'm Cleve.
And I'm David. Our faith informs our politics, and that's why we're conservative. Listen to our program, Mere Conservatism, Sundays at 4:30 p.m. here on Christian Talk 660. We discuss politics, faith, and worldview from an everyday conservative point of view.
Mere Conservatism, Sundays at 4:30 on Christian Talk 660.
Miracle Hill provides a bridge to homeless and hurting children and adults. On Saturday, June 6th, bring your whole family to Furman University for the annual Interim Healthcare Miracle Hill Challenge. Registration is now open. Choose from a certified 5K run or a 20, 40, 62, or 100-mile ride. And for the kids, a Miracle Mile Fun Run. Register online at miraclehill.org. Miracle Hill Ministries, shelter, food, and miracles. Every day.
Hi, Alex McFarland, Jason Jimenez here, inviting you to Truth for a New Generation, the conference on apologetics and evangelism, live in person. Hear Lee Strobel, Dr. Alveda King, the Benham Brothers, David and Jason, and evangelist Will Graham. Don't miss Truth for a New Generation.
That's right, Alex. This year's theme is Jesus, America's Hope. You don't want to miss it. September 18th and 19th at First Baptist Spartanburg. Go to truthforanewgeneration.com. That's truthforanewgeneration.com.
Dish Out Cafe and Catering might be new to the area, but Trish Ballantyne and Amy Brown have many years of experience in the restaurant and catering business. Visitors to Dish Out Cafe and Catering can take a dish out or dine in to enjoy their signature entrees, sauces, sides, and other savories. Call them at 520-8201 to handle your next business luncheon or special family event. Their food and service are exceptional. Dish Out is located at 728 Wade Hampton Boulevard near downtown Greenville.
We're Christian Talk 660.
Welcome back to The Dean's List. For more resources, including articles, books, and archive broadcasts, simply log on to trueworldview.net. Once again, here's your host for today's edition, Dr. Paul Dean.
Welcome back into the Dean's List. We're talking about the breaking news in the Freddie Gray case. This is the individual who's taken into police custody in Baltimore, Maryland, died about a week later, and of course it's been all over the news. No doubt you've heard about it. Well, charges were brought today against the six officers who have been suspended. One of them was a second-degree murder charge. The rest were various assault, wrongful imprisonment, that kind of thing. So we're just talking about that and some of the implications. Now, Gary and I were talking during the break, and Gary made an excellent point, and I could make it, but Gary, I'd just like you to share if you don't mind.
Well, I think that the thing that's important is that when we hold people accountable, then it helps everybody, especially the very good police officers we do have.
Yes.
Because like in any profession, and they've got a tough job, it's not like my job in here. They got a tough job. They got to make split-second decisions, figure out what they're going to do. And in a lot of cases, their life is on the line.
That's right. That's right.
So they've got to determine all that. But while they're doing that, you know, 98% of those guys do a great job, and they are doing it the best that they can. And then, like any profession, you have a few that maybe are not, or they take the easy way out.
Yeah,
or we're going to do it this way or my way. We're not going to do it the way we should.
All right.
And when those happen, then it makes the 98% look bad, and they're not.
Right.
So we've got to take proper action and hold people accountable so that it really will help protect the good officers we have. And let's do that. Let's look at all the evidence. Let's do the investigations. But let's do it the right way. And if somebody needs to be held accountable, like the situation in South Carolina,
yes,
which came up, they looked at it, they investigated it swiftly.
Mm-hmm.
That officer was incarcerated.
Yep.
And it was, you know, you're going to stand trial for this.
That's it.
And there was not an upheaval because people saw that people took responsibility for something that was wrong.
That's right.
And it keeps the good officers in that area protected because the bad officer is now out of the way.
Right.
So I just think it's important.
What you're saying. Well, and that's the way it should be, and you're exactly right. We didn't even have time for civil unrest down in Charleston because they dealt with it. And, of course, what that does is it instills trust in the people. They say, hey, okay, here's somebody who did something wrong, but the rest of them are holding him accountable, just like I'm going to be held accountable if I do something wrong. And that's what you're talking about. And I'll just say this in passing as well before I move on. You know, you're talking about the police putting their lives on the line. That is exactly right. And, of course, we all agree that there's a big difference between someone who poses no threat. He's running away. He hasn't committed murder or anything like that. He's just running away. You shoot him in the back four times and kill him. There's a big difference between that and a police officer who's trying to detain someone, and all of a sudden that person becomes violent. Maybe they pull a gun or a knife or they charge. Well, the officer has to protect his own life. He does. And we all understand that. It's interesting, Gary. Someone asked me a few weeks ago, I guess it was in the aftermath of the Charleston incident. I don't know. It was like, well, why couldn't the police, you know, just shoot him in the leg? You know, he didn't have to kill, you know, like if he's being attacked. Maybe it was in response to, maybe it was Ferguson. I'm not sure. These things get, you know, over time.
Right.
And my response was, well, it's not like TV, you know. When you shoot a pistol, I don't know anybody who's so accurate he can shoot the gun out of somebody's hand in a tense situation like
that. In the old West.
In the old West, yeah, they were pretty good back then. Clint Eastwood's pretty good at that. But, no, in real life, you got to shoot the heart of the target. And hope that, you know, unfortunately, you don't want to hurt anyone.
Right.
But you don't want to be killed either. And if you miss, well, then very likely your life is in danger. And I understand it's a tough situation. So, yes, all of those who are doing the job that they're supposed to do, we appreciate very much. We don't want those who are bad, though, to run roughshod over the rest of us. And look, here's the other thing. You know, the police are supposed to protect us, okay? We're thankful for that. you know, there's been a lot of talk about the mayor up there in Baltimore, and at one point she had said something to the effect, you know, we're just going to let them loot, you know, leave them alone. So there was a stand-down order. Well, again, who among us wants her to give that kind of order? Again, this is a failure of government. They're supposed to protect our property. They're supposed to protect the citizens. And, of course, they were ill-prepared. This, you know, angry mob came out, and there were a lot of injuries and all that. But I think the discussion needs to be, okay, let's make sure that the government is doing what the government is supposed to do. See, this is a question that comes up all the time, and I'd love hours to talk about it. But the primary role of government in a new covenant context, which is where we are, is to protect us from one another. That's the role of government, is to protect us from predators. And so their proper role is that protection. What I'm afraid of is when they get out of bounds and they're either not protecting us or harming us, either directly or indirectly. And so we need to be aware of that. Otherwise, we will no longer have a free society. And, of course, it seems in some sense in a lot of these discussions to always come back to that. Here's the reality. Part of what's going on in Maryland, in Baltimore, in some sense, as some have pointed out, to borrow a term from another sphere, is blowback. There is a perception among the people up there in the community that we're talking about that, well, the police are the enemy. And the police are heavy-handed. There's this perception. Now, on the one hand, that perception may be warranted in some cases and obviously not in other cases. But when you have charges of a history of police brutality, or when you have a heavy-handedness, and when you have conservatives saying things like, we got to crack down, you know, if you don't want to get hurt, you know, all of this, whether the perception is right or wrong, it actually adds to the perception. This is not to condone it. This is just to analyze it. Right? Now, on the other hand, you know, if you're talking about the more conservatives among us who want to be heavy-handed in some sense, or at least not necessarily do we want to be, but we hear that kind of rhetoric, and there is a heavy-handedness from time to time. If you think about the public policies of the left side of the aisle, I'm talking about the welfare state, for one thing, and how people are kept impoverished because they're taught from the day they're born, they don't have to work, the government's going to take care of them, and they're into a system and they're locked in. So incentives are taken away, and they find themselves living in a particular grievous kind of impoverished kind of despairing culture. Well, all of a sudden, in that kind of culture, because everything's handed to them, property has little value. When they can commit abortions right, left, and center, life has little value. And so what happens is, when you have an incident that sort of blows the top off the powder keg, it's something that's been simmering for a long, long time. You've got the false perception, perhaps, or whether it's false or not in certain cases, but in general, the false perception of a heavy-handedness on the part of the government. On the other hand, you've got a lack of value for property, for life, and this is why you have looting and burning and throwing rocks and bottles at police and this kind of thing. And I think from a Christian worldview perspective, which is where we always want to come to in these discussions, obviously we value life. Obviously, we value property. We value the life of everyone, born or unborn. We value the life of everyone, black or white, rich or poor, born in America or not born in America. We value life. We value property, not just my property, but your property. But on the one hand, I think it's not enough to say what we value. On the one hand, we have to realize what the root of the problem is, the heart of the problem, if I could say it that way, is human sin. Sin in the heart. And there's only one thing that's going to change that, and that's the gospel. That's why government, for example, can't fix the problems that we face in our culture. We can talk about this a little bit further in a future broadcast, but there's some pastors in my denomination who think that, well, we just get the right people in the right office, then everything will be fine. Well, that's not true. I certainly want the right people in the right office, but that's not how we're going to solve our problems. It's not a matter of majority rule on the one hand, and we're not in the majority anymore as Christians. What's going to solve our problems is heart change, and that comes from the gospel. So I'm always coming back to preaching the gospel. The gospel overcomes. Now, when folk come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, their worldview changes, maybe slowly, maybe some more slowly than others, but their worldview changes. And as worldview changes, then all of a sudden we realize that work is a good thing, for example. Life is something that should be valued. Property is something that should be valued. That which belongs to others is something that should be valued. Law and order and peace is something that should be valued. Those kinds of things. And freedom for everyone is something that should be valued. And so I think we have to deal at that level, a worldview level in the culture, which is the message that God has given us. That's the good news. It's a good thing. And the implications of that message in a civil society. If the right, well, let's not even use that term. If the government is heavy-handed, we need to deal with that. If the government has policies that enslave people to welfare and maybe a lifestyle of drugs, you say, well, you can't blame that on the government. Well, no, I blame it on human sin. But the government also does things that are contrary to God's way in a civil society that exacerbates the sin problem. So we need to talk about all of these issues and realize that the gospel is the only thing that will overcome any and every issue that faces us today. We need a Christian worldview to permeate our conversation, our attitudes, the way we live in this society, this civil society of freedom, of liberty, and justice for all, for the glory of God and the good of all. It's the gospel that overcomes. Join me next time. We'll talk
You've
more about it.
You've been listening to The Dean's List, an analysis of news, culture, and theological trends from a biblical worldview. To access archived broadcasts, go to trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources as well. Join us each week at 11:30 on Friday and Saturday, and noon on Sunday for The Dean's List.
And the gospel.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or iHeartMedia.